This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I'm Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo. Our team thanks you for downloading the Rich Zeoli podcast. Relationships matter to all of us. At Cherry Hill Volvo, we will work to gain your trust, your confidence, and in turn, develop a relationship with you, the Rich Zeoli listener.
Now, live from the Malamut & Associates Law Studios, the revolution will be broadcast. Yes. This is the next generation of talk. Now, the Rich Zeoli Show podcast from Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
It's a contentious day in Pennsylvania as Governor Tom Wolf goes after those counties that dare defy his orders and businesses that dare defy his orders. And yes, people want their freedom back. They want the ability to take a risk and open their business, get a paycheck. And the governor says, how dare you? Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. It's me, Rich, back with you in Afternoon Drive. Hope you're having a great day. Hope you had a great Mother's Day yesterday for you moms in the audience. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. So where do things stand today? I think it was summed up quite well, actually, by a district attorney from a county in Pennsylvania, from Greene County, who says, I'm trying to save what is left of my community. Greene County District Attorney says he won't prosecute businesses that open before entering the yellow phase of Governor Wolf's reopening plan. In case you don't know, Pennsylvania right now today has become, the governor of Pennsylvania tried passing the governor of New Jersey today in terms of authoritarianism. It's they're really having a battle, these two. A number of counties, elected officials, said that their counties are not going to follow the governor's plan, that the cases are low in their counties and they feel safe and they're going to go ahead and do their own thing. A number of businesses throughout the state said, no, I can't wait. I won't have a business to come back to. I can't wait for this anymore. This district attorney in Greene County says he won't prosecute businesses that open before entering the yellow phase of Governor Wolf's reopening plan because he talks about the fact that, you know, my community is getting destroyed here. It's a big deal for a prosecutor to use words like this, right? An absolutely big deal. And I think about, too, the idea that Governor Tom Wolf would accuse these people of not wanting to do their part. You know, by just wanting to open their businesses again and just get a semblance of normalcy back to life, that they don't want to do their part to help fight the virus. And this is what the battle line has become. It's either you want everything shut down, or you want to sensibly open as many things as humanly possible, in which case then you just want people to die. Now, if I turn around and I go, yeah, but if you keep everything shut down, you just want to cripple the economy. They go, no, don't be a conspiracy theorist. We're just trying to save lives here. But then they'll turn around and go to somebody who wants to, say, reopen a barbershop. They'll go, why do you want everybody to die? Wait, what? No, I just want to be able to make some money cutting hair. I don't want anyone to die. See the double standard there and how that works? The absolutism that they offer us. And Wolf acts like he's an elected tyrant. I mean, not elected. He acts like a king, actually, is what he acts like. Here's what we'll do, actually. Let's hear the governor of Pennsylvania today. What he had to say. This was edited down because it was just, there's much more tyrannical ramblings, but I had to, for the sake of time, condense it a little. Take a listen.
We Pennsylvanians have sacrificed in ways we could never have imagined. We've separated ourselves from our families. We've isolated ourselves in our homes. We have shuttered our businesses. We have closed our schools. These heroic acts deserve to be met not by surrendering, but by staying the course. And that's what I intend to do. To those politicians who decide to cave into this coronavirus, they need to understand the consequences of their cowardly act. The funding we have put aside to help with fighting this crisis will go to the folks who are doing their part. And that includes our CARES Act funding, which will be used to support counties that are following the orders to prevent the spread and the medical communities who are treating patients. However, other discretionary funding won't go to counties that put us all at risk by operating illegally. To the politicians urging businesses to risk their lives and to risk the lives of their customers or their employees by opening prematurely, they need to understand that they are engaging in behavior that is both selfish and unsafe. You business owners, these politicians put you at risk losing your health department certificate. They put you business owners at risk of losing your liquor license. They put you business owners at risk of losing your certificate of occupancy. All of these depend upon your doing everything you can to keep your patrons safe. And by opening before the evidence suggests you should, you're taking undue risks with the safety of your customers. That's not only morally wrong, it's also really bad business. Businesses that do follow the whims of local politicians and ignore the law and the welfare of their customers will probably find themselves uninsured, because insurance does not cover things that happen to businesses breaking the law. And let me be clear, employees that fear for their safety because a business has opened illegally, well, they don't have to go to work. Instead, they can stay at home, stay safe, and collect their unemployment benefits.
Now, what's amazing about that, there's a number of things in there, but mainly he calls people cowardly and selfish if they want to just open their business. Now, this is not a leader. Okay, this is not a leader. Leaders inspire people. Leaders try to bring out the best in people. Leaders don't belittle people and insult them. And that's exactly what Governor Tom Wolf is doing. He's insulting people and belittling them by calling them selfish and cowardly. Nobody who wants to open their business is selfish when they look around and see other businesses open, including Tom Wolf's business. They look around and see other businesses open and they go, well, why is it, if I open mine, why am I selfish and cowardly? I don't understand. Grocery stores are open. People have to wear a mask. Why can't I open my barbershop and people wear a mask? Why can't I open my deli and people wear a mask? I don't understand the difference. How is that selfish and cowardly if some businesses can be open with everybody wearing a mask, but mine can't? That's not selfish and cowardly. That's you being an arrogant jerk who won't look at the data and won't look at the science. Because the data and the science tells us it's safe for businesses to be open as long as people wear masks. Right? Isn't that why that's the way it is? Or is this mask thing just a fugazi? Or do you know that the masks don't save lives and you're purposely risking people's lives? Grocery store workers and the seniors that go in there with masks on and that sort of thing. Are you purposely risking their lives? No? So then masks work. Is that what you're telling us? So masks work. Okay. So in that sense, why do they only work in grocery stores and essential businesses? Why do they not work in non-essential businesses? Does a mask, as it walks into a non-essential business, go, well, turning off my powers now. This is not essential. I only work in essential businesses deemed by Governor Wolf. Otherwise, germs come on in. My mask-like properties disappear. Is that a thing? So what is it, Governor Wolf? Why are you so opposed to the idea that elected officials would defy you, would defy your orders, would say to you, we're not listening because we don't want to lose everything we've ever worked for in our entire lives? The arrogance of this guy. The absolute unbridled arrogance of an arrogant millionaire who doesn't have to worry about missing a paycheck, by the way. Tom Wolf is set for life and then some. Guy's super rich. Super rich. And he has no empathy whatsoever for the people in his state that are struggling right now. People that are struggling. People that are scared to death. You ever wake up in the middle of the night because you don't know how you're going to pay for your mortgage? Think you're going to lose your home? You ever wake up in the middle of the night because you're afraid you're not going to be able to find food for your kids? Tom Wolf doesn't have to worry about that stuff. In fact, none of these politicians have to worry about that because they're all getting paychecks. Even the fact that the two governors in our state who are the most tyrannical, Murphy and Wolf, they are millionaires, multimillionaires. The hubris of these people to make so much money and then turn around and think that they know better than you. But that's what it is. They look down on you. You're a bunch of idiots to them. 50 people died over the weekend for the coronavirus in New Jersey in a state of 9 million people. And everything still has to remain closed down because 50 people died. Now, each and every one of those 50 people is a shame that they died. It's also a shame for the 500,000 people in the state that are struggling and stressing and losing. And that's not even the accurate number. But we don't talk about them, right? We don't actually empathize with them. We don't try to understand what they're going through. We call them selfish. We call them cowardly. Hey, listen, jerk, some of these people have kids to feed. Some of these people are just trying to keep a roof over their head. They're not selfish. They're not cowardly. They don't want to see everything they work for their entire lives go away because you've deemed it so, Your Highness. Not cowardly. There's nothing cowardly about wanting to provide an income for your family. There's nothing cowardly about wanting to preserve a business as maybe something you worked your whole life for or was in your family for generations or just something that's a valuable resource for the community. There's nothing cowardly about that. But I tell you, it's so easy, right? From behind the governor's desk and his taxpayer-funded office with his millions of dollars and his taxpayer-funded salary, for him to sit there and call us names and demean and belittle people who what? Just want to open up safely, by the way. Safely. They want to open up safely. I talked to this morning to Nicole Messina, who owns Giovanni's Media Barbershop. She, out of her own money, put in partitions. She wanted to make sure everybody had masks on, temperature checks, sterilization, everything. But no, she's not allowed. She's not looking to have corona spreading parties like chickenpox parties. She wants everybody to be safe. Why is she selfish? Why is she cowardly? Because she wants to just keep a roof over her head and make sure that her employees can eat also and feed their kids. You think about the waitress who's hoping to God that her diner opens up soon because she can barely get by right now. Is she selfish or cowardly? You arrogant jerk. This waitress who's making minimum wage, barely, living on tips. Is she selfish because she's got kids at home? She's a single mom and the unemployment only goes so far? I'm just wondering. Is she cowardly? Is she coward because she wants to go back to work? Easy for a millionaire to say. Isn't that something too, right? You always hear people on the left, they're always constantly bashing millionaires and billionaires and everything like this. But when these governors come out and they insult people like this, I don't hear the left chime up and go, you one percenter, why don't you zip it? Try to understand how the little people are feeling right now. The little people. It's a damn shame. It really is. And it's scary for a lot of these people out here. 855-839-1210. Joan is in Hilltown. Joan, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Violi. Do I get a gold star for cooking and calling at the
cooking
same time today?
Absolutely. You're setting cooking a great standard tonight,
the
Joan.
Same time. I am. I really am. But he's got me, Wolf has me so fired up that I couldn't resist doing it. I mean,
what
I,
are you cooking for dinner, by the way?
Him,
that's what we really want to know.
Oh, I'm cutting some, I'm about to roll out some lasagna.
Nice.
To make lasagna. Yeah.
Beautiful.
It's going to be a good meal. So I just thought to hear him say the part where about, you know, the whims of these elected officials, I thought that was particularly rich because he's the one who's chosen winners and losers throughout this whole thing. He's devastated some businesses, telling them they have to close while he's let other ones stay open. And there's no rhyme or reason to what he did. So I agree with you. I think he's acting like a tyrant. And it's
yeah, and there's elected officials who are not acting on whims, Joan. They're listening to their constituents. They're trying to do what's best for their counties and their communities where the cases are very low. They're just trying to govern. And Tom Wolf thinks that he's the only one who gets to make these decisions. He's not a king.
That's right. He's not. And well, I think that he's starting to see, like, the more irrational he's getting, it seems to me that he's feeling more pressure. So now he's trying to up the, you know, up the hysterics and up the fear factor for people. And it's shameful, but it's heartening to me that in our county, Bucks County, we have bipartisan support for people pushing back a little bit and saying, you know, we're not going to do this. We're not going to enforce your rules, you're going to have to send the state police to do it. And obviously they won't be able to, they don't have the manpower to be everywhere to enforce it all. So, you know, I was glad to see that my county's standing up.
Joan, thank you. And thank you for the nice gift for baby Reagan. You're a sweetheart. We appreciate it.
Oh, you're welcome. God bless.
God bless. And hope that lasagna, it sounds amazing. I could kill for a piece of lasagna right about now. The other thing about Wolf, what he did was very subtle, but the threatening of the insurance. Now that's key. Because if somebody does get sick, you know they're suing. If somebody slips and falls, they're suing. And so what Governor Tom Wolf subtly said there was, there won't be any insurance coverage for you. He's basically now deemed it so that insurance will not cover anything that occurs in a business that defies his orders. The first thing the insurance companies are going to do is say, well, I'm sorry, but you were opened in defiance of the governor's orders, and we're not paying this claim. He also threatened to take away business licenses. Did you catch that as well? Threatened to take away business licenses. Now, most of these licenses are BS anyway. They really are. They're BS. Why the state needs to give somebody a license to cut hair when the market can decide who's a good barber, who's a good stylist, right? But he's threatened, but that's leverage, or the state has leverage. This is why for years now I've said to people, stop with the licenses. And they go, yeah, but Rich, we got to make sure they can cut hair, or they can, you know, lactation consultants to be certified, massage therapists. No, it's just another way for the government to have control over you. Because if they can control you by threatening to pull your license, you're much more willing to do their bidding, right? That's what he's going to use. The license. You'll never be allowed to work again. Tom Wolf is doing the whole, you'll never work in this town again. Like the Hollywood hacks of days gone by. And by days gone by, I mean a couple weeks ago, because they really haven't changed all that much. 855-839-1210. Tony's in Feasterville. Tony, how are you?
Okay, Rich, you're great. I love you. I think you do a fabulous job. You're a great.
Thank you.
Hannity would say you're a great American. Listen, the problem with Wolf, the problem with the state of Pennsylvania, these people keep voting Democrat, and it's all about Trump. They hate Trump so much, Tom Wolf is not going to let anything good happen in this state. And you better check out all the other Democrat states that are run by Democrats, and they're doing the same thing. They had one button they hit, and it's all about Trump. And number two, the Army of Israel, none of them, absolutely zero, had the coronavirus. They have, and they got all got injections, because all it started back in, I think it was 97, when Netanyahu became the president of Israel, and he captured a Palestinian. He was afraid of a Palestinian general.
All right. Let me stop you there, because time is short. I don't want to go down this road right now, but. But certainly there's the first part about what you said with regards to the hatred of Trump. These governors don't give me any evidence that there's anything different going on here, right? I mean, think about it, right? If you look at New Jersey and Pennsylvania, take Pennsylvania, because New Jersey is going to go blue. That's obvious. But take Pennsylvania, for example. There are people who've said that Tom Wolf is only trying to destroy this economy to hurt Trump's chances of winning re-election in Pennsylvania. A great way to offer up an alternative to that would be to come up with a plan that says, you know what? We're going to open up every single business, and I'm going to leave it up to local officials, but here are the parameters. You must be outside whenever possible. Everybody wears a mask. There's no touching of money. Contactless as much as possible. Go ahead and go. I'll let you govern it. And if I need to step in, I will. But otherwise, do your thing. Why not do that? Of course, what we are not talking about today is that scathing report that came out from PA Spotlight that said Pennsylvania had a plan to deal with nursing homes, which have been the epicenter of death. Almost 70% of every death from COVID-19 in Pennsylvania has been in a nursing home. Pennsylvania had a plan in place, did not execute the plan. Why not? So we're talking about this nonsense today with the governor lecturing everybody and insulting people. When really, the true story is his administration dropped the ball big time on nursing homes, and people died. The greatest generation. The death count of these nursing homes is nothing short of an absolute tragedy. One that could have been prevented had the state had a plan. But that's the thing. They didn't have a plan. From day one, I have been telling you the same thing. Every day, without fail, these governors had no plan. If they had a plan, we would not be in this position right now. But because they didn't have a plan, because they didn't take this virus seriously, because they were too busy telling everybody to go to Chinatown and be woke and go to parades and not be racist, because, like, that's a thing, they had no plan. They were too busy doing that, and they didn't have a plan. And now here we are. And meanwhile, the nursing homes did not get the PPEs. The nursing homes did not get patients moved. The nursing homes were forced to take patients who were COVID-19 positive. And the nursing home situation is a travesty. And yet, I can't sit on the beach with my kids. It's unbelievable. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. The elderly Americans who are victims in these nursing homes, we owe it to them, to their memories, to not let this go. And we won't. All right, 855-839-1210. It's me, Rich Zeoli, back with you in Afternoon Drive this week, taking your calls, giving you updates. I just really feel like the workers, the owners of hair salons and restaurants are looking around, and all these people going to Home Depot, all these people going to the grocery stores, CVS, and thinking, I don't understand, why can't they come to my store and wear a mask? And it'll actually even be safer because less people will theoretically be coming to my small garden shop than they would go to Home Depot. But this is why I say to you, reject the notion that you want people to die because you want businesses to open up, because businesses are open, just not all of them. And that's what these people are fighting for, is for their business to be open as well, using the same science that the government has used to determine which stores are essential and how those stores can open and function. 855-839-1210. Rebecca is in Orland. Hi, Rebecca.
Hey, Rich, you're doing a great job. Thank you so much for fighting the good fight. I am calling you back. I talked to you at the end on Friday about the nursing home situation.
I'm so glad you called back. Yeah, that was a tough call, and it was right at the end of the show, so thanks for calling back.
No, thank you so much. I was just wondering your thoughts, if there is any recourse that we can have as families, because you know once the state eventually opens, they will keep those nursing homes closed for months and months. And I'm so upset to be like, is this going to go through the holidays? Is this going to be a year, 2 years? How long can they legally keep us from our loved ones?
Yeah, and that's a really tough question, right? Because I would think that if somebody... So you were saying that if somebody's at the end of their life, that people are not allowed to come in and say goodbye to them?
If they are on hospice, they will let them come in. But at this age, like, you never know. I mean, I understand that their health and their safety is the most important thing, number one. But I can see my mom through the window, and they're suffering without us. Like, they need us. And so at that age, you never know if something's going to happen to them and we'll never see them because they wouldn't let us, like, but no,
why can't you as an adult say, I'm willing to risk getting the virus. I want to go see my mom. She's dying.
Because if they can't let us in yet, because if it's not about my mom, she lives with other people, you know, like they think even if you enter the building, you're putting everybody at risk.
Okay. I see.
So, and I understand that, but my thing is, but so I will give it to them. If the person is on hospice, they will let you go in, which I appreciate. But I'm just thinking it feels like they're keeping them hostage.
Yeah.
Like how long can it go on until we are like, you have to give us some sort of garb or whatever, or we have to, like, they're suffering without us.
You know, I can't even imagine what that must feel like for you to know you're so close and yet you can't see your mom. And for her perspective too, how much of medicine do we hear is about compassion, happiness, people telling somebody they can get through this, and right? I mean, all the positive mental health aspects of healing.
Yes, right, exactly. So I actually emailed you because I wrote a song about it called Outside Your Window. And I am just like busting up. I am a grown woman. I'm like busting up without my mom. I am 48 and I just miss her so horribly. And I know she needs me too. And I'm like, oh my gosh, crap. Like, is this going to go on for like the rest of her life? Yeah. Like, there's no end in sight.
See, I, for one, am very happy I can't see my mother right now. But we're in a totally different scenario, you and I. I'm just kidding.
Okay.
I know my mom's listening. She just texted me and said she's listening. So I just wanted to get her a little. Just trying to make Mama Zioli laugh. Rebecca, my heart breaks for you, and I will look for that email. I'm not sure if I got it, but I barely have time to check my email because of the kids
The
baby right now. But I will look for it. I will say this to you, that it's so unfair to your mom that you can't be by her side to hold her hand and tell her, you can get through this, Mom. We can do this. That aspect of medicine, of healing, of recovery is so crucial. They always say, right, laughter is the best medicine. Believe that you can get through there. And there's a link, and I read this actually in Dr. Maz's book, Compassionomics. There's a link between people, loneliness and not fighting viruses. I mean, not fighting disease and not overcoming something. There's a correlation there. That's why it's so important for people to be around people.
Yes, and her demeanor has changed. Her spirits, I can tell, are changed, and she's cognitively impaired. So she's saying to me, oh, you know, how come you can't come in? Every time I see her, I'm like, oh my gosh, it's so destroying to me. You know, she can't totally understand, and it's just mean. It's mean.
Yeah, it is. It's cruel is what it is.
I was wondering if you knew it.
I'm glad you called back. I really appreciate it. I will look for the song.
Thank you so much. Thanks. You take care.
Take care. And you know, God bless. It's a really tough time. You know, this is why I wanted to come back on the air, give you a place to vent, give you a place to chat and talk, because these are tough times right now for us. They really are. And they're challenging in ways that we never would have imagined before. And there's always somebody that has it more challenging than you. You know, I was saying to my wife today, like, all right, it's rainy day. Kids are all inside. Baby Reagan is, my wife is breastfeeding, but she also has to supplement it with formulas like a lot of moms do. And the formula is just not working. And we think maybe she has a milk allergy like Patrick does. And so we're trying, you know, on the phone today with the pediatrician and the whole thing. It's just, but there's always somebody that's got it tougher than you. And I always think that's important to remember in life. You know, somebody always has it tougher. And I wish that people would, like, I wish Governor Wolf would remember that as he lectures people about being cowardly and selfish. I wish he would remember that, you know, a lot of people, they have it tough, Gov. You know, they're not all millionaires like you, pal, with a state-funded taxpayer salary and all the accoutrements that come with that. I think the district attorney for Greene County put it best when he said, I'm trying to save my community. KDKA, our sister station up in Pittsburgh, put this out today. Greene County District Attorney David Russo announced he will not prosecute any small businesses that open their doors today and follow safety measures. The area has been put into the yellow phase, but that doesn't go into effect until Friday. In a statement, the district attorney says, quote, many of the businesses in Pennsylvania may not be able to recover from the governor's actions. I am trying to save what is left of my community. Imagine that. Imagine a district attorney here coming out and saying that I'm trying to save what is left of my community. So all these businesses are, the counties are sanctuary counties. They're sanctuary counties. You know, Pennsylvania and New Jersey, Philadelphia, they're sanctuary cities and states for illegal immigrants, right? Illegal aliens who undocumented, whatever you want to call them. The point is that in those political entities, they will not follow the rules. They won't cooperate with ICE. They're sanctuary. They offer sanctuary to people. So when Immigration and Customs Enforcement issues a detainer request to, say, the Philadelphia court system, to the sheriffs that are holding the prisoners and says, we got a guy, we're coming to pick him up. Nope, can't cooperate with ICE. That would be called a sanctuary city or sanctuary state. Now, these entities don't have to follow. I mean, they don't have to follow or enforce federal law, but it's always a nice idea to cooperate, right? So these counties have now declared themselves sanctuaries for businesses that don't want to follow Governor Tom Wolf's arbitrary and capricious, nonsensical destruction policies. I like it. I like it a lot. Good. You know, the old saying, what's good for the goose, good for the gander. How is it that Jim Kenney, the mayor of Philadelphia, can look us in the eye and tell us that they won't enforce the rules in Philadelphia when it comes to illegal immigrants, but how dare you not follow his dictates on keeping everything shut down, you selfish coward, you. See the double standard with these people? It's amazing. So this district attorney, I applaud this guy. He says, for businesses to open, they will have to follow CDC recommendations, practice social distancing, and provide personal protective equipment for their workers and customers. That sounds entirely reasonable. That sounds entirely reasonable. The district attorney says as long as they follow these guidelines, they won't be prosecuted. The chairman of the Greene County Commissioners, Mike Belding, believes that with lower amounts of cases than other areas, people should be rewarded for their prevention efforts. But Governor Tom Wolf said the reward for desertion cannot be that you're just like everybody else and get discretionary funding. Discretionary funding will go to places that are doing everything they ought to do to keep their citizens safe. So the governor has threatened now to take away any federal funds to rebuild your community, your business license, insurance coverage, What else is he going to do? Take away your firstborn child? Like, what else is the governor going to do if you defy him? It's amazing. Greene County is one of the four counties in the area to file a federal lawsuit against Governor Wolf, saying that the business shutdown order violates constitutional rights. Again, if every business in the state was closed down right now and everybody had to do delivery, I could understand the governor's point. We're not going to let anybody open. It's so dangerous out there. You step out of your house, you could die. But that's not the case, is it? There are a variety of stores you're allowed to go to. I just went to a store a short time ago to buy new baby formula, and I wore a mask. I got in, I got out. I touched nothing except for the baby formula canister. I used Apple Pay to pay. I didn't talk to anybody, and I left. In and out. Purelled my hands, washed my hands when I got home. Good to go. I can't do that at, I don't know, like a little mom-and-pop shop that sells artisanal cheeses. I don't know. I'm just trying to think of something here. Can't do that. Why can't I do that there? I don't. Why not? Why can't I? Or curbside pickup for the artisanal cheese shop or the bookstore or the whatever store. I mean, there's so many stores right now that are closed and struggling, and businesses, restaurants in particular, which barely get by now. The margins are so thin. Please tell me why they can't open up outside with restaurants that are socially distanced from each other and employees that wear masks and nobody touches anything. There's no buffet lines anymore. The salad bar from days ago. Like, I used to love the old Sizzler salad bar. My friends and I would go when we were in high school. We'd go to Sizzler just for the salad bar. It was great. They had little grilled cheese sandwiches on there. It was fantastic. Anyway, those days are gone. No more shared tongs. So why can't a restaurant, parking lot, outside? We know that the virus spreads a whole lot more inside than outside. That's backed up by scientific research that I shared with you on the air last week from the former head of the CDC and the FDA. Pretty smart guys, I would say, right? So businesses open up outside. Restaurants have tables 6 feet apart. Contactless everything. You pay by your phone. You order by your phone. Why is the governor so stubborn? Why can't he let these local businesses and local communities try to figure this out? Nobody wants anybody to die. Nobody wants anybody to get sick. Everybody wants to do the right thing. Everybody has been doing the right thing. But you notice, though, the mindset of a guy like Tom Wolf or Phil Murphy is that you are a child. You're not capable of making the right decision. Left to your own devices, you'll make the wrong decision. Unless government guides you with the stick, you'll make the wrong decision. That's not true. And they never use the carrot. No, it's always the stick with them. Constantly with the stick. But if you don't get the stick, you'll be bad little boys and girls, and you'll do the wrong thing, and people will die. Nobody wants anybody to die. Nobody wants anybody to get sick. Everybody's willing to do their part. Everybody. They have been from day one. But the government's not holding up its end of the bargain now, is it? We were told that if we had to do all this so that the hospitals would not be overwhelmed, okay? Hospitals are not overwhelmed. We were told we had to do all this because we have to protect the most vulnerable among us. Well, we did, and you didn't, because the most vulnerable among us in long-term care facilities, nursing homes, have been dying at 70% of the death rate in this state, just Pennsylvania alone. We did our part. You didn't do your part. We were told that in order for us to make sure that the virus does not spread in great numbers until we had controls on it, we should do our part by social distancing. We did our part. We're still willing to do our part. You're not doing your part and giving us things to do that we can social distance while doing, like go to dinner, go to lunch, go to a bookstore, walk in public places that are not shut down because the crowd capacity has reached 50%, which is an arbitrary metric. We've done our part. And this is really what this district attorney from Greene County is trying to say. We're losing everything here, man. What are we doing? Meanwhile, at nursing homes, Pennsylvania Spotlight points out today that they had a plan in place. They did not follow the plan. Oh, and restaurants in Pennsylvania are suing the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board over wine handling fees. Two restaurants leading a class action suit in Commonwealth Court that would force the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board to repay millions of dollars in fees it collected from restaurants during the last 3 years on grounds that it improperly blocked them from obtaining wines directly from distributors. The lawsuit, which was filed last week, followed a Commonwealth Court decision that by not allowing wines that are not available in state stores to be delivered directly to restaurants from wine importers and distributors – They are not following the law. And so a judge had to order the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board to follow the law. And you know what's amazing to me is that these restaurants now, which are sucking wind and have been fighting to be able to do things like curbside pickup for wine and spirits and cocktails and that sort of thing, and the Liquor Control Board would not help them out. Meanwhile, they busted their chops with fees inside and out. And when it came down to it, and these restaurants had to close, did the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board step up and say, how can we help? How can we make it easy for you? How can we help you get wine and beer, or beer, or I should say, excuse me, wine to your customers and liquor to your customers? How can we help? What can we do? Maybe we can do a curbside thing when people order dinner, they're also able to get a bottle of wine. Did the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board do any of that? No. No, they didn't. Even though they'd taken all these fees. Absolute travesty. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210. Nobody wants people to die, but they don't want their communities to die either. And Pennsylvania is not nearly in any way, shape, or form balancing this correctly. There's no common sense whatsoever. And that needs to end. It's me, Rich Zeoli, back with you on Afternoon Drive, coming right back. All right, 855-839-1210. Glad you are with us today, this afternoon. I'll be back with you tomorrow. Of course, 5:30 to 9, and then 5 p.m. to 6 p.m. So nice of you to join the show. 855-839-1210. Roger is in King of Prussia. Roger, good afternoon.
Hey, Rich. Thanks for taking my call. Want to say you're just a true patriot. We really appreciate and love what you're doing and saying, and we're all there with you.
Thank you for that, sir. I appreciate that.
Yeah. Your previous caller, the lady who called in about the nursing home not being able to be with her mother, I just wanted to follow up on that. My wife, who's really, she's next to me, broken up right now. She and her mother and her two sisters just lost their dad 3 weeks ago, approximately. And what happened was just a tragedy. The mother had to drive the father to the hospital, to the ER. They had phoned in ahead, and they were waiting to take the father, the husband, in. Basically, they met him. They grabbed him out of the car. They whisked him away from the mother. That was the last she ever saw him again or spoke to him. He went in. They tested him. He tested negative for COVID. She didn't have COVID either. And then they had to take him in for emergency surgery, and he had a massive heart attack, was unable to really save him or stent him. They put him in a bed with intubated ICU. He was drugged up a bit, and they would not let the mother or the three daughters come in with him in his last hours. The best they could do is they FaceTimed the family, and, you know, they said the doctor there said he can hear you, but he can't respond. And then what happened after that was amazing. The doctor broke down, started crying, and said, if it was my father, I'd want to be here in his last hours with him too. Wow. And this is just so horrible what's happening to us.
My heart breaks to hear that. I can see your wife is with you. I can hear her. I'm so sorry to hear that. Gosh.
Oh, awful. Thanks, Rich.
And this is, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Roger.
No, go ahead.
No, I was just going to ask it. And during this entire process, was anybody thinking about your father-in-law? Was anybody thinking about him?
You mean at the hospital?
I mean, just to have somebody by his side in his last moments of life.
Well, that's what they wanted. They said even just let his wife in there to be next to him, by his side. And they said, no, our protocols will not allow anyone but the patient in. Nobody. Nobody gets in.
But that's not fair to the patient. I mean, at that moment.
No.
It's just not
exactly
fair.
Right.
It's not common sense either.
No, exactly right. I mean, that's the reason I wanted to get this story out, because it goes a little bit even beyond your last caller.
Well, listen, my condolences. My heart breaks for your family, Roger, and
thanks,
and to your wife. And, you know, I will say a prayer for you
guys. I'll pass that along. Thanks so much, Rich.
And just
keep doing what you're doing. All right. You're spot
Thank
on
you,
on just about everything I hear. All right.
I appreciate
Take
it.
Take care,
friend.
Rich.
All right. God bless. When we had the baby, I was allowed to be in the room with Bridget. I was her one companion they allowed, which is a very smart policy, and I'm glad they did it, because leading up to that, I was nervous that I wasn't going to be allowed to be there for the birth of my daughter, and I was very nervous about that fact. But what I don't understand is that if I could be in the room with my wife when a newborn baby is coming into the world, and we don't know how babies are with this virus, I mean, so far it seems like they are okay, but like anything else, hasn't been around that long. We don't really know. But if I can be there, why can't Roger's mother-in-law be there by his father-in-law's side in his last moments of life? That's what I mean about the arbitrary nature of this and why so many people feel like it's cruel, how they can make determinations like that. Interestingly enough, when they were going to discharge Bridget, she's the patient when she gives birth, but then they wanted to keep Reagan overnight so they could observe her because her bilirubin counts were high. It's common with babies. So they put her on these lights, these ultraviolet lights to have her overcome it. And so at that point, Reagan's the patient. So now only Bridget could stay because Bridget is Reagan's companion. And I was more than happy to go home and get some sleep, believe me. My sister was there watching the kids. I was more than happy to do that. Fine. But again, if the baby who's new to the world and we don't know a lot about her immune system and how it handles this virus and everything like that can have somebody with her in her first moments of life, why can't Roger's father-in-law have somebody with him at his final moments of life? Again, it doesn't make sense. And that's why so many people are upset and angry by these orders. It's not because they're callous. It's not because they are rejecting science. It's not because they are trying to defy the medical community. No, it's because these rules are all over the place. They're all over the place. I'm safe going into Home Depot wearing a mask to get mulch, but I'm not safe going into a bookstore wearing a mask. I don't understand. I don't get it. The longer that this goes on, the longer that people feel like this is arbitrary, and in some ways at this point now, nothing other than a power trip by these arrogant governors in our area. The longer that people are, the sooner people are going to lose whatever little motivation they had to believe what the government is telling them. The numbers change all the time. The statistics change all the time. The rules change all the time. It all changes all the time. People started social distancing before the rules were in place. You know why? We do the right thing. We do the right thing as people. That's why. All they had to do was ask us, hey, can you do us a favor to save the most vulnerable among us till we get this under control, till we know our hospitals can handle it? Could you do the following for us? For them? For them. No problem. We're good people. We're always being selfless. We have in this country since forever. I mean, think of all the wars. The Greatest Generation dying in nursing homes right now. World War II, the sacrifice that they went through to be able to bring freedom to the world. We're happily do our part to make sure that people are safe. But the mindset of guys like Tom Wolf and Phil Murphy is not do the right thing. It's we'll tell you what to do. And if you don't do exactly like we say, you're selfish. You don't care about people. You are cowardly. Not exactly motivational. Not exactly inspirational. It is the hallmark of a tyrant to insult people in their darkest hour, not to lift them up. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. I'm so grateful you joined me for this hour. I look forward to being back tomorrow morning from 5:30 to 9. You can find me on Facebook, facebook.com/Zioli Show, or Twitter at Rich Zioli. Have a great night. Hang in there. See you tomorrow.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.